This is a recording of an interview which took place on Friday the 27th of March 2015 between Jeanette Martin and Joe Dralaga. The recording is part of the Mixing It project, which is a partnership between the University of Huddersfield and the Imperial War Museum North. So Joe, could you tell me about yourself, where you were born?
I was born in Poland, 1924. I was born, there was seven in a family. And where I was born is one of the nicest parts of Poland. It was near mountains. And I've enjoyed my youth time in Poland, because I joined scouts and being near mountains, we had loads of pleasure climb. It isn't big mountains, but there were mountains, and we used to go every weekend away from school. When we were not in school, we used to climb the mountain, and we enjoyed it. But before we could go, like Sunday, we had to go to church, because the all Catholics, you know, were born as a Catholic. Parents were very keen Catholics, and they always taught us, you know, respect people. That's mine, always, in my life, when my mother and father says, wherever you go, you have to respect, especially all people, and be good, you know. And say, if you do that, the people will respect you in reverse. So I've always, during my life, I try to remember that, you know. And while I was born in Poland, then I was 16 years old when war broke out. When Germany invaded Poland, they closed all schools, and I was in grammar school then. Everybody over 16, they had to have a job somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, because there were no jobs where I was born in the village, because I was in a grammar school up to then, mm-hmm. but because I had no job, the German came and they took us to Germany for labor. What do you call it? Forced labor. We have, because it was forced. The first out of the home. My sister and me. When my sister worked in somewhere on a farm, and I went to Germany working as well. Mm-hmm. For 4 years during war, I was working in Germany. Forced labor. It was very hard, with no freedom, with very, most of the time we've gone hungry, mm-hmm. because there's nothing else to eat, you know. And the Germans never had clothes, proper clothes. I worn for 4 years, I worn clogs, mm-hmm. in Germany. And it's been hard work, you know, there's nothing we could do about it. My family was still in Poland. My dad was working in that factory because Germans wanted to work still there. And my mother was still looking after other kids, younger kids. But I was on that in Germany away till war finished. When war finished, we had a choice then, to go back to Poland, mm-hmm. Home from Germany. But at that age, when war finished, we were 21, mm-hmm. there were Russians in Poland occupied. I would have been taken, if I went back to Poland, I'd have gone straight to German, to Russian army, mm-hmm. and Polish army. So I decided to emigrate instead. Mm-hmm. And waiting list to go to USA. And then I decided to go to England. The reason was because I had from Red Cross information where they were making inquiries with their name. My uncle was in the Polish army during war, all the war time, were in the Polish army, and they were in England, and they traced with their name me. If asked me if they were related, I said, well, my uncle was youngest brother of my father. He was in British army. And so I decided then to come to England instead of going to America. The only option I had when I came to England, the only job to go is working down pit, which I was grateful to have a job, and I didn't want. And I came to England then to see my uncle. I had a shock because my uncle wasn't fit. He was just come out of hospital. He's been 8 weeks, 8 months in a hospital in Italy and also in England, rehab, because he was wounded at Monte Cassino in Polish army when he was in fighting in there. And he never recovered from it, but see, he was still rehabilitating, you know. But I was glad to see him. But I was unable to stay with him, or he couldn't take me. So I had to work in a pit. But you see, I had a family to talk to a little bit. So it was nice to see. Then I was pleased to see all these medals for the year. At Monte Cassino, bravery, Polish, you know, and English, you know, medals for bravery, and this, and then, meantime, when I started working, I met my wife, and we decided to get married, and we were glad that my uncle was still alive. He came to my wedding. No, he's not.
You can show me a photo afterwards.
He came to my wedding, to our wedding. But soon after, another year or so, he died. He was so much wounded from that wound, you know. He never recovered properly, and he died. But see, I got married then, brought my family here. But when I got here to England, My idea was just to get on. I don't know whether you had that gift or whatever, what do you call it? But see, I want to be in everything, you know. So I want to join football teams straight away. At work, I was interested in work, improve, and being so interested, I got. To learn all jobs which were down pit. And when before my uncle died, I came over from Durham where I was working. I came to here to see him, to his last few months, we'll say, and he died. So that's why I came to Yorkshire then before he died. And that's why I met my wife, and we got married, and I've been working in Yorkshire pits then. I worked in 3 or 4 different pits, but I got on all right. My job was to get on with workers and my bosses, and I've always been, I think I have been lucky. When it showed it, when I retired at 60, which was compulsory for miners then, when I retired at 60, I'd send off all my bosses, my manager, they told me, oh, by the way, before I say that, as I was retiring, I was already then deputy, that's a boss.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Knowing the job knowledge, the bosses, they gave me a job, a promotion. and I got a deputy, which is very, it's been in later years, helped me, because I got, when I retired, a better pension and everything. Mm-hmm. And when I was still working, you know, I had about 20 men supervising over them, mm-hmm. 20, and they were all sent off when I retired. They all came to my party. In fact, my boss says, "Joe, you can take all your team and have a night out the last night. You don't have to go to work and you get paid." And that was a send off. And not only that, but he says, "When you come at weekend, you know, bring your wife." Says, "We're going to have a party for you retiring," because one of the bosses was as well retiring. And says, "Can you imagine a manager, deputy manager, safety officer, all this, two safety, and there were four or five bosses, you know, the, and me and my wife. And when we walked in, there were flowers for my wife." And it's so beautiful. And oh, there was a send off, you know, being, I earned it, because my boss says, "Well, you've been good to men and you've done a good job, so you're right, you deserve it." Anyway, I retired, and when I retired, I went to see my doctor. And my doctor advised me, says, "Now you're retired at 60, compulsory. After all, I'm working 40, I work, by the way, 48. Nearly 50 years, you know, down pit.
Mm.
But see, when I retired, after this hard work and bad conditions and all of that, I had to go for a checkup to my doctor. And says, "Joe," says, "you want to enjoy your retirement, find yourself a hobby." Mm. I says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Because if you don't find a hobby and you're not doing anything now because you're retired and you're still young," he says, "you get bored sitting at home, mm-hmm. looking at your wife and like that, you know, the kids." He says, "You want to get yourself a hobby." So I decided to go bowling. Mm-hmm. As I told him, I decided to go bowling, and he said, "Oh, it's a good hobby, because you'll meet so many friends, you know." And so when you're bowling every week, you play different teams and all that. He says, "You make a few friends." He says, "That's all right to spend time." So I did, and I started bowling, and I've been bowling ever since. I'm a life president of the bowling club here in Elsington. So that's nearly 40 years, you know.
So going back to the 1940s when you arrived in Britain,
yeah.
how easy was it for you to settle?
Oh, none. As I told you before, my parents always taught me, wherever you go, you respect people, you know, so try to do your best. So when I came here, I couldn't speak English. But see, I tried to learn with, if you were interested in sport. So I started reading a little bit in paper. So I started a little bit. And also, as I mentioned before, thanks to that family. Because I used to go to their house and I was reading papers and they were showing me. So I learned English, because I've never been to a proper school. I tried to learn English, reading papers and seeing which mistakes I made. So, like, I used to ask friends, you know, say, tell me if I'm saying anything wrong,
mm-hmm.
which helped me. But the more I was mixing with people, the better, quicker learning English. And I still don't speak proper English, perfect English, but I'm glad I can communicate. And wherever I go, I meet some friends. Always make a lot of friends. And I suppose this talking a little bit of English, broken English. I met wife that way. She was impressed and she thought that we got married. And she, when I came over to England, it's always been, I've never had prejudice against any other colour or anything. I tried to make as many friends as I could. Mm-hmm. All I wanted to settle down and have a family, not just roaming about, you know, some lads, friends, Polish lads, they rather wanted to be single. Mm-hmm. I was happy to get married and I was happy to bring family,
mm-hmm.
and a lovely family. And see, first thing is, when I decided to give him the right education, my daughter went to university. Also, my granddaughters now, three of them, they've all been in university. I always thought in life that knowledge, it's very important. See, I was in Polish school, grammar school before war, 3 years. I was in grammar school from 12 to 16. And that, still, it's in my memory because I learned maths, grammars, geometry, things like that, history, and it always been in, I always interested, and this it helped me to get promotion because I could add maths. When they, I'll give you one example, when they changed metric system, I was doing I went to college, mining college, mm-hmm. to get promotion. I had to go to mining college. While I was in mining college, they were teaching us how converting it from metric system to metric to convert it to metric system. For me, everything came easy because I already learned that in grammar school. Mm. So my teacher, when I was in school, I used to help him, you know, to convert it because, you know, like how many pounds is it, a lot. And it did, it was easy for me, but it wasn't easy for English people. Mm. But I see, I did it right, everything easy. When I changed, you know, the metric system, everybody said pound, say how many, you know, takes 100 pennies or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, well, 12 pennies, you know, remember, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything is, and I think in a life, knowledge, I advise anybody to send kids and learn them. And I did that in my life, you know, because whatever you learn, it always comes handy, not sometimes not straight away, mm-hmm. but it comes later on. And then same goes in history. That's important as well, you know. Sometimes you talk to people, you watch television, and say so-and-so. And I know, I know this from the history, you know. Mm. Everything is, and I love history. My subject favorite in grammar school was history and geography.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, my daughter went to university she graduated and she got a diploma from history. She did because she followed same like me. And then she granddaughter same, they all did, and daughters. And I think that in a life, I would tell sis, learn as much as you can because it's never wasted. Respect as much as you can everybody, and you earn, you have to earn respect. That's the main thing. Two words I can tell to anybody, advice to anybody. Earn respect, don't demand. Because you've got to earn. And to earn respect, you will by behaving yourself, by being a good worker, mixing in. And that's why I'm 91 year old, and I'm happy. Even I have had a health problem, but I'm happy. I've had hard life, very hard life, 4 years in a labor camp 40 odd years, 48 years working down pit. But I'm happy because I brought a lovely family and they respect me and they love me. And I can't say no more, just say I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Happy that I've gone through all this, through life, working hard. Hard work never hurt anybody, it was only suffer from, like I did in Germany, which were forced labor, and Germans were terrible to me. They were hitting me and all sorts of super hungry. And God forgive me, I've been stealing food just to survive. And I've always said, God will forgive me because of.
Had no choice.
Because it's to save the life. So what I said, stealing, they were working on a state farm where I worked there. There were always chance to get things like potatoes, raw potatoes and things. So we used to cook it in the camp, boiled potatoes. That's all we did, survived anything. I've eaten raw onions a lot, you know, so hungry. So when we're ploughing and we're all in, we used to eat and it's good for you. But I mean, we didn't know that, but we're just trying to eat something, you know. They were terrible in Germany there. But when the war finished, and see, I've got to say one thing, you know. Polish people in United States, US, they decided to look after these Polish people who were on labor, like myself, in labor camp. They call it Polonia. It's a Polonia. They took care of us. They helped us to emigrate. They advised us, you know, not to go to Poland, back to Poland, because Russians were there. So they arranged for us to emigrate to different countries. Some of them went to Canada, United States, and whatever. And I went to England, which were still help from this Polish Polonia, you know. We were, when war finished, they started some displaced person camps. That's a displaced person camps. We were in these camps for a couple of years, waiting to emigrate. I said, while we were there, these Polish people from America, they provide food for us, and looked after us, gave us a chance to even speak a little bit English, if anybody. But there were Polish schools, which were to carry on learning Polish properly. But see, they didn't know which country we were going, so they couldn't learn language. But you see, there were schools, Polish schools, after war in Germany. Then that was all to American Polonia. And you see, we with these schools where we had to complete more like educations and whatever, and then you see, we were planning everything for future. And see, once we were looking, some of my friends did go to US and somewhere else, but the reason I came to England, because of my uncle. See, Polish Red Cross, well, Red Cross, wasn't Polish, Red Cross contacted me and told me that when they found out that you were related, that he was in England. So they helped me then to transfer myself to England, and I came to England. At that time, I didn't think, you know, anything about being working down pit. I was glad to come to England because I had a job, job, and I had also met my own family, and I was happy just to be away from Germany. From I wanted just to, we're only 20, 21, 22 year old. So I started training to work down pit. I managed, it's been hard, but I worked harder than I would have. I've earned good pension, promotion. Mm-hmm. I've got this for the.
Oh yes, yeah.
That was for no. I've got somewhere from Pitt. Oh, but all diplomas from different one.
Uh-huh.
From working down Pitt. Is that the one? No?
I'll have a look at the end.
The kitchen.
Yeah. When you were living in England afterwards and bringing up your own children, did you send them to Polish school? Did you sort of teach them about Poland?
No, that's one thing I regret. Not being strong enough to convince my wife to learn Polish. She says, "Oh, sister, just let them learn English and go to English schools." And she did like Polish people. She mixed with Polish people, but she never wanted to be Polish, like you say. Mm. When she went to Poland, she got on very nice. We had my sisters came over, three sisters came. Mm. When I landed, when I got a job, they came to see me. Yeah. They were very nice. But my wife, we never got to that. I don't know why. They couldn't. Only my daughter. When she graduated from Norwich University, I told her, I says, "I'm proud." I says, "Now you deserve holiday or whatever you want, something, Now." And she says to me, "Dad," I never forget, "I want to go to Poland and see your family." And that time, there was nobody allowed to go. Well, I wasn't allowed to go, nobody. But because
what she... What date was that? Roughly.
Just a minute, she was 52, 50. Well, she was, Norwich University. She just graduated.
The 1970s?
She was born 1954. And she was 22.
So it'd be about 75.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And she said to me, "Dad, I want to go and see your family because you can't go." And says the keep correspondence with letters. He says, "I'll go see." Because she couldn't speak Polish,
mm-hmm.
so she went voluntary to evening classes in London, where she lived with her husband. They both went and learned enough Polish, and she can speak Polish. My daughter can speak Polish, and son-in-law can speak Polish, because they went to evening classes to learn.
Mm.
And then when they went to Poland, they thought they made a god of her, with being family with Joe, and she enjoyed it. And luckily at that time, Russians, they broke that wall,
Yes.
And so she persuaded me, says, "We all went then, four of us." So I went with my wife and daughter and son-in-law, went twice to Poland, 2 years on trot to Poland. And that's when my wife, she just learned, "Jak się masz, how are you?" Dobry, good. she could never learn English, but she managed to try to do conversation, tic-tacking.
Mm-hmm.
That's only Polish in you, tic-tacking.
What's and that mean?
When she wanted something, it says, so it was like, "Come on." She went to kitchen, showing my sisters, when they were here. She says, "Showing her this, like, this is kava, coffee,
Sure.
Herbata, tic-tacking." She said, more or less, but they, funnily, they've been here 2 months, sisters, you know, to train them, and we've taken them all over England, London, and Seaside, and they were very impressed because they weren't well off in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
They were so they've enjoyed the stay here, but they were nice when you don't speak language, you still manage to mix, you know, like this showing, you know. So when you go cooking and so same with food, you know. So went to market or somewhere, you know, when they were buying food. So she said, "Oh, we'll have this and that," you know. Said, "We'll make Polish meals," you know. They made English. So I've always mixed, you know, even with cooking, I've never always wanted something, you know, having like Polish meal. To stay happy here, even I'm English, now I'm proud to be English subject, even because I'm in England, I still have that feeling, I have something, some part of me is still belong to Poland, you know, because I was brought up there and learned. They taught me right things, you know, while I was young, and of all my life I've never had problem. I've never been while I was in England. I've never had never been in any trouble, you know. Never been in court. I don't even know what it looks like in court. I've done all right, and I'm happy because I've been British subject. I feel like all part of. And my family is brought up here. They all feel English, but somehow this still. When you, if you went to another country, you'll be still thinking. Oh, says I think about England, about like it. People say. My wife always think about Yorkshire. Wherever she went, she always thought about Yorkshire. She said, "I am proud to be Yorkshire lass." That was a Yorkshire lass. Never forget this. That's a Yorkshire lass, my wife, which wanted to impress everybody.
Mm.
And I've been always proud to be in England, proud to be English, you know. See, I've never had all where I've been trying, wherever I went, I've been trying to mix. I've made myself loads of friends. They made me president of bowling club.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I'm still now a life president because I've sent resignation and says, "We're not accepting." He says, "You stay life president." So, you know, and when I have a 90-year birthday party, my family arranged for me a big birthday party, 90. My daughter, son, and family arranged for me to have a 90th birthday party with knowing that I have a lot of friends. It took some effort, but they kept it quiet without telling me.
Yeah.
And see, I had a birthday party in a working men's club, and there were 300 people, and there were all my friends, some of them from work. Some from bowling club, some from village, you know, from here, and all neighbors, they were all there. They were invited, my daughter and son, they arranged, invited them without, and told them not to tell me. So when I went, I was supposed to go for a lunch on my 19th birthday, and I got there. I walked in the club, and they were full, the club, full,
aww.
On a stage, brass band.
I like brass
bands. You touch soft spot.
Do you like brass bands?
Do I?
Yeah, do you?
Very much.
Oh, good.
Anyway, brass band on a stage, playing Happy Birthday.
Oh.
And you walk in there and all these friends, you know, the Happy Birthday.
Oh,
I was crying. I'm not ashamed to say, I was crying, 90-year-old, and he says, all these friends. He says, oh, this is lovely. On top of everything, after when I walked in, sat down, my youngest granddaughter she came with a baby, just 2-3 weeks old,
aww,
straight from hospital. She had a baby. It was all my great granddaughter. She brought a baby, you know, my great great. Oh, I burst in tears, you know. Oh, it was, I don't know. It was so, I was so happy, you know. This, and this brass band were playing there. Amongst my during lifetime, my family, when I was growing up, daughter went to university, my son was very good to college, he went he passed the printer in the big printing firm, and they all had both good, of son and daughter, by the way. And when he was in school, no, my wife's family, they were a bit what do you call it? Musicians, they love music. Great grandfather played the brass band.
Which one?
Butler Old.
Oh,
that,
yes.
That's 100 years back. Butler Old. Then my father-in-law was a pianist. He played, he was lovely, played all over here and played in a at night, Saturday, Sundays, in clubs, you know, at night. And he was a lovely piano player. Wherever he went, there were people around straight away there. My son, then I said to my son, say, you teach playing piano, but I want him to play properly, you know, learn from teacher. I was paying so much, you know, a week. I used to go every week, the old lady, the teacher, proper teacher. And after 12 months, she says, Master De Laga, I think you're wasting your money.
Oh,
just like that, it says, he's not making any progress at all.
Yeah.
I said, why? He says, he's got something else, other type of music. Well, and at the same time, he was at college, Dewsbury College, and the teacher in that college, he was a member of one of the top brass bands in the auction, Imperial Metals, Copperworks. And he realized in Michael said he liked music. So they got a school band there. As soon as only youngest member of that school band, but he got an instrument. And surprise, surprise, when I got that letter, I says, well, you won't have to do without, you know, music. He's coming from school with a cornet, little cornet. He said, Dad, I've got this one. Instead of piano player, I'm going to play brass band.
Yeah.
And he did, and he went, he qualified to play junior brass band of Great Britain.
Really? Wow.
He played to, went to Holland, he went to Denmark, and has been touring around Wales, and he got... he's got some. He played in top brass band. He went to Albert Hall on a concert there.
Yeah.
He came third. They came third. His brass band. Loads and loads of brass band music.
Oh,
that was
that.
All my life. Thing that we
won. Yes, I can see it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. So from Brighouse.
Brighouse
and Rustrick.
Brighouse.
Yes.
They were from Brighouse, our neighbour, old man. When Michael brought that instrument, and our neighbour had a look, he says, oh, he says, lovely, he says, I'll help you. And he did help him, you know, when he was a young lad. Then, and he went, that's why he got to brass band, the top brass band then. No, it's marvellous, you know. And it's funny because my wife's nephews, two of them, they went to brass band. And their sons, they also played brass band. It's all family, it's a brass band on wife's side, you know. But I like, we used to go to, what do you call it, near Manchester.
Bellevue?
No. Oh, they went to London, they were bigger in London, Albert Hall, they were bigger than Bellevue. But they used to go every week sometimes, once a year, they were... marching, the old brass band.
Oh, I know what you mean. It's a Saddlewood.
Saddlewood.
Yeah,
oh,
so they still do that now.
I went
last year.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It still goes on.
A bit of Michael in there.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Yes, Saddlewood.
Yeah, it's about all nine different villages.
Yes,
there's
nice ways to go there. Yeah, Whitsun time.
Whitsun,
marching.
I was there last year.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, Michael.
We'll get Joe to take
Michael are retired and he goes every year.
Yeah.
He still goes.
Yes,
oh.
To say, yeah.
And funny is, my son plays brass, but his wife, my son met wife, and she was playing in the brass band.
Mm.
Locally, like.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my mouth's all brown, but it's so lovely. So, you see, that's how it is. You make in your life, you know, you've got hobbies,
uh-huh.
You know, something, you know, I play bowls, you know, I enjoyed bowls because I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough to be a top footballer.
You're okay.
But I'm glad Michael been to brass band and my family grown up, and I'm proud of them. They at my age now, 90, they come and see I'm all right. So all in life, if you can make your life easy, if you try to put up with things, you know, sometimes now maybe I bring subjects. I shouldn't bring subjects. When people come to this country,
mm-hmm.
I know you're not always welcome.
Mm.
But see, you can make yourself welcome, like I did. Try to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Try to understand, you know, some things like habits with the people do something, accept this. Celebrations or whatever, and try to bring your own in it, you know. Mm-hmm. Say, like I have Christmas things, you know, celebrate a little bit of Polish things, you know, a little bit of English, you know. And see, same as you go out to people, you know, you try not to be sarcastic or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put up sometimes you might not like things, you know. But see, when you don't like it, just put up with it, you know. But at the same time, you try to learn to accept it, you know. I mean, I can see some people and I say, oh, see, they shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. Let them do it because they like it. They have to their own. West Indians have marches, you know. This they say, oh, I like it. I love enjoying them, you know. It's lovely. But see, if you mix. If you accept, you know, where you are, and see, you, at the same time, you should be grateful like me. I'm grateful to be accepted here. I'm grateful for being English now. I'm proud to be English. And I can't thank enough God who's been looking after me. You know, I've been pretty lucky up to lately. I've had illnesses, about accidents, but I put up with it, you know, managing. But I'm still here, and I'm happily married all this nearly 60 years. So I just missed Golden Wedding, but my wife, she accepted me as a Polish. At that time, when I was courting and getting married, so the people didn't approve, you know, mixed marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as you love each other, that's it. See, I'm not ashamed to say my wife's family, the first, you know, just when the first time they met foreigners, you know, like when my wife brought me home there, she just looked, you know, like, let's see, they says, we'll see. And says, after they found out, they said, we were in love, and that's it. So they didn't try to stop us. And says, in fact, as soon as we had family, you know, my grandmother, she thought, I might go with a girl and a boy.
Mm-hmm.
But she thought, oh, a boy, well, my God, everything said, you couldn't say anything wrong. You had to have everything with you. You see, that's how we see mix, you know. See, and I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, marriages, mixed marriages, it worked for me. Because I accepted English way of life, and they thought I was a good father to him and everything. So we've been happy for them. You can't say being married nearly 60 years, you know, so, and happy family, they come here now. And not only that, but during that lifetime with family, you try to live and not depend on somebody else, just try to work for yourself and see, I worked hard and I tried to educate. That's the main thing, you know, in life. It came handy for me. If you were in Polish, you were still good for me, you know, maths especially. It came too handy for me. That's a good promotion. But see, you've got to accept these things is mixed, and then say, you learning to live with other people as well. Not only this, I've got a neighbor, Colorado. I couldn't have a better neighbor. And I've worked, you know, you were first hard, you know, first year or two when I worked, you know, when I got proper job, there were a little bit jealousy creeping in. Because after war, when we got jobs in the coal mines, see, some miners, they were a bit worrying that they might lose jobs, you know, there. But you see, that then were demand for coal then. So he worked all right for us because wanted coal. So we were accepted as workers, you know. But they did, first in a year or two, she says, oh, sister, he could say. But see, all you have to do, just ignore. That friend of mine, says, he always says, if anybody ever say anything, ignore it. He says, I'll sort them out or something like that. You know, but see, there was some people do understand, you know, things like that. But I've had hard life, happy. I didn't have a happy all the time because I've had thrombosis. When I took family to Skegness, I was 49.
Oh, gosh.
I was still working down pit at 49. I collapsed.
Dear.
Yeah. I was 5 weeks in hospital in Skegness. Collapsed. I come around and I've gone back to work again because I wanted to keep bringing family. My daughter was just at the university, didn't start it. She needed money, you know. So I went back to work. And I wasn't properly fit, but I did go to work. And as I always say, if you have something on your mind, want to do something good, if you try hard enough, it don't matter what it's in your way, you try to conquer it. And I did. I didn't care if I was poor or not. I went to work in the morning to get up early, travel a long way. But it's showing now the fruit of this. I've came to this country. I was accepted for the job, and I made some friends. It takes two to make a friend, and I did that. And, my family, grown up and dead, they glad, you know, that I am Polish, in a way like English, half Polish, half English. But see, they never, anyway. And I tell you also, I should mention one thing. Religion never stopped me loving wife. And never interfere in family. I am Catholic. My wife, Church of England. says, she respected me if I wanted something to go to, and I respected her. And she never, religion never made any problem for us. Because when I got married first, with being Catholic, they wouldn't let me get married. So I got married in Church of England. And when we got children, says my wife, and says we can have it as you want, Catholic there. So the vicar from Church of England came, and says you'll have to sign, the kids will be brought up in Catholic religion. And says, I said, what does that mean? Says they'll have to go to Catholic school in Dewsbury, other side of Dewsbury.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my wife, she, both of us. No.
Mm.
We just said, we're not there making any special because of Catholic. We go over there. We're going to nearest school to educate. And which were, school is not just here. See, that's where we're in Elsington, so they were all here.
Yeah.
So my wife says, I'm not trailing with the young kids, you know, to other side of Dewsbury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we never had a problem with religion. And that's a part of reason, you know. It's we've been happy because we never fell out of a religion.
Mm.
You know, kids were growing up and we're both looking after kids. And we wanted them to be educated, wanted them to respect other people, which they did. And they said, they're lovely. I mean, my daughter going to university in London and all that way. And that's where she met another chap, a Londoner, of all. She never liked, you know, in London, daughter. They were in Hackney, first year when they got married.
Yeah.
And she says, we're off to Scotland for a holiday. Because I'm fed up, you know, she says, can't live in London, but you know, it's like hassle and that. While they were there in Orkney, their holiday they had, while they were there, oh, by the way, they were the first holiday when they started working, both of them, the tour around the world.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah, they went 6 months. They took months off, saving off, and then. But see, once they wanted settled them, the job advertised in Orkney.
Really?
He's a health inspector, that's environment inspector.
Mm-hmm.
He had to study 1 year longer at the university to get this doctorate, you know, what they call. And she was teaching, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. As this job was advertised, and he applied for it, thinking, you know, he says, you might just get it. And he did, because it's a qualification, that's what I say, always, never wasted, you know, any special extra education. And so he got this, so he got a job. So they moved to Orkney.
They went to Orkney.
Orkney. And they were four years in Orkney.
Yeah. Stupid.
And they went to Orkney. She got a job teaching, you know. I don't know. We used to go to Orkney flying from Leeds Airport to.
It's a long way.
I went back by the car as well, and the boat across, you know. But they liked it for it. But the only thing, you know, like any woman, you know. There were no big shops in Orkney. The only farms in and every time they wanted to go to mainland to buy a boat, it took them two and a half hours by boat to get across, and then they had to go another to Inverness. That was biggest
it's a
place.
Long way. It's about 4 hours, isn't it?
It took them 2 days to get any shopping. So, you know, we're setting off in the morning and then they had to stay overnight and do some more shopping and back. It took them 2 days, you know. So they were starting looking then after four years. They were nearly 5 years in Orkney. Then they started looking on the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because it seemed really clever lad, very clever. And he got this job in Aberdeenshire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boss, you know, health inspector, environment inspector, but that's proper job. And she got a job in school. She's finished the headmistress, you know. She retired at 60. She was 60 last Christmas. And she retired at 60 because in Scotland they can't. Women that can retire at 60. Yeah. What did they do? He had to work another 2 years. So he says, I'm going to retire with you. Not having time of your own. On your own. They have no children. And so we're going, both of us, gallivanting now. And they've been going all over. He's gone to Africa, everywhere, for holidays, Europe. And they've been going in Scotland, to West Scotland, you know, that for
Liverpool.
I've been every year for the last, but they've been in Scotland now 30 years, and every year we went to see him. I went by in winter, at Christmas time, went by plane, but I'm frightened, because it's you go in these small planes and it's floating, you know. My wife was terrified. She didn't want to go, so we drove, you know, and stay overnight until we got to the river. And that's we've been doing that, you know, for a long time. But they like it, you know. They got the house there. It's nice where they're not in a posh, like it's a house, all big house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like in the middle of the town. Mm. It's out of town, and they were quiet, lovely. Mm. They were only half a mile to go to see that from the nice. Not in front of the sea. See, and it's a lovely, quiet spot.
Mm.
It's a huge, and there's just a little river going past the house. It's a peaceful, lovely place where they are. And see, they've been there and made holidays for me and wife every year. Mind you, they come here as well, you know, they used to come here. Mm. I mean, that's why I got this flat, you know, because it's, how many years? 30 years maybe? Mm. No, 20 odd years of this flat. When they build these flats, you know, I bought it. And I've got two bedrooms here, so when they come, it's a little bedroom. It's just big enough for two beds, you know. There, so when they come, you know, they can just come anytime they want. They stay here. Yeah, it's happened here. Yeah, somehow, you know, we go there, they come here. It's I never grumble, you know. If something don't go right, like health, you know, they try to put up with it.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I'm happy to be in England. I'm happy that I've been accepted and have a chance to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fruit of this is my family. I'm very proud of my family. My family proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked all my life very hard, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I have something to show for it. I worked, and I enjoyed it. Try to mix, you know. You can't just be, like my doctor says, if you don't have hobbies or something, you know, if you don't mix, you get bored.
Mm.
So I say, I've done that, you know. So I mixed, I've made a lot of friends in the sport, in the neighbors and all. My wife, she's done more than me. She formed this 50 plus group, you know, age concern, 50. She had 80 members in a year.
That's impressive.
And they meet every week, you know.
Yeah.
Hello.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. That's been really interesting. Thank you.